Anyway, here comes Stefan Sessegnon now. He's striding forward. He's going to shoot. And yes. He scored. Stefan Sessegnon from outside the area. Robert Green embarrassed again. Can he get a shot? He can. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Bill Bradley picked that one out. And it's in. It's down. It's a goal. Oh. What a screamer.
All right, everyone. Welcome to episode 95 of the Roker Report podcast with me, Simon Walsh, and back, Michael Graham.
Hello there.
You all right?
Aye, not too bad.
Good, good. Making this up off the top of my head, because I ain't got anything written down. We start with three big points, and we start with a spate of released youths.
Mm.
Ryan Noble heads the list.
The real great hope.
Surprised Craig Lynch got a new deal.
Yeah, I've never really seen... He hasn't really looked like he's going to get anywhere near the first team, has he? Maybe they've like heard that they might be able to get some kind of a fee for him from like somewhere or something. I don't know, but yeah, that was an odd one. He looks like he's about 12.
Yeah, he's really much like Noble, too wiry.
Hmm. Yeah.
To ever make it, but you never know.
Yeah, he must have...
Must have done something.
Yeah, exactly, so you never know.
So Noble's gone. Amidst much hell, I'm sure. Adam Reid, Wade Joyce, Anthony Callaghan, and Ben Wilson all jettisoned.
Yeah.
And everybody else pretty much gets a new contract, by the looks of things. There's about 12, which I can't be arsed to remember. Go to rookereport.com for details.
The important ones are not an Egan, really, aren't they? I think those two are the important ones.
Big year for not.
Mm.
Got to go to a higher level.
Yeah, he does. He really does. At the minute, he's just cruising, isn't he?
Yeah, it's great being, you know, the top boy in the conference, but how are you in League One, Championship, something like that. So there's that. But something I was reading in that, actually, I assume Lewis Lang has already got a deal.
Yeah, I noticed his name wasn't there. He must have signed a deal.
He must have already got,
a two-year, three-year deal or something like that. It must have been. But I haven't heard anything, because hasn't he been out all season anyway?
Yeah, pretty much anyway. Yeah. I know him and Egan are both out for a while. So
yeah.
Other news, lots of games have been rearranged of late. Obviously, we knew Newcastle and Chelsea were going to get rearranged. They've been moved to Sundays, different times, that you can probably find out. and just now, Aston Villa away has been moved as well, with Sky Sports smelling relegation blood.
Yeah, and that's been moved to Monday night, hasn't it?
I think it could be.
Which is a pain in the arse for fans.
Ruining all plans I had to get there.
Mm.
It was the week after my birthday, and that was going to be my birthday present, but not on a Monday night, it ain't.
Oh.
Well, yeah, because that's one of my targeted away games every year, with Birmingham only being 40 minutes on the train sort of thing. So, yeah, was it two out of the last eight or on a Saturday at 3 o'clock or something?
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Did I read that somewhere?
It's great, isn't it?
Not fact-checked whatsoever, but just somebody said it, and I'm inclined to believe them.
I love it.
Yeah.
and because we can't actually be asked to check it ourselves.
Exactly. If you're a real fan, you'll already know this information. Right, so we'll dive into the match. Man United's a bit too far away to get all depressed about. We can just about handle one game at a time. And Norwich, 1-1 at home.
Yeah.
That is pretty much the noise that sums up the game.
You were just waiting for something to happen, weren't you? You were just thinking, you've got to be able to create something, a chance, a little spell where you have them really on the ropes. Just do something. You know, it's there for you. It's been handed to you on a silver platter. Just take it and then we can all relax. And they just farted on. They just farted on in front. And they did absolutely nothing. They attacked nothing. They created nothing. There wasn't any energy or pace or urgency. It was just depressing on multiple levels. It was a disgrace, really. And I'm not one of these who uses that word easily, but it was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, it was. I was absolutely disgusted by it. Really was. Just the inability to, first of all, have the ability to do something, to think, we've got an extra man, we should be able to do something here. And the second, the kind of inability to realise the gravitas of the situation.
Yeah.
And just think, like, they were just kind of trundling along, the ref will help us out again, or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like, the hour mark, possibly even half time. Somebody needs to say, right, you fuckers, we've got to do something here.
I tell you, it was a case of every single person on that pitch, for, like us anyway, every one of them were just waiting for something to, like, happen, rather than making a point to make it actually happen.
Yeah, everyone was waiting for someone else to do it.
And that just sums up the whole thing. There's just not an ounce of leadership in that team. Not an ounce of it.
We'll get the decisions. We'll go through the decisions. Mark Bunn, red card, handball, both, either, neither?
I think that was handball, yeah. It was tight, obviously, but, you know, and you could say, oh, well, he is a really, it's not really his fault that it's, like, his arm and everything, mm-hmm. but the fact is that he purposely went with his arms first, you know.
And his arms were, like, inside.
They weren't, like, to the, like, side or anything, they were in front.
He wasn't getting his arms out of the way, was he?
He wasn't, and if it hadn't have hit the arm, then we score. You know, it's...
Well, it was Danny Graham, but...
Well, no, even we couldn't miss. You know, so I think that he really had to go.
Yeah, I mean, it was only after a couple of replays where people saying, yes, it was, no, it wasn't, because it come off, like, his back tricep or something. And in real time, I thought it was... clear handball, no arguments, sort of thing. So, and the ref's got the same amount of time to judge it.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Penalty?
That one's a little bit harder to call. I think it's one of them which is straight a 50-50. I personally wouldn't have actually gave it, but I can understand why it was. It was a one of them.
Yeah, it was, like I said in the commentary on Twitter at Roker Report, I'd have been pretty pissed off if I was a Norwich fan about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had them.
Oh,
well,
that's what I'm saying. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, unlike Sunderland, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. And they just will. So, yeah, and beautifully put away.
Oh, he can strike a ball, can't he?
That's how you take a penalty.
In fact, I don't think in my... like, lifetime, as a fan, I don't think that we've ever had someone that I've got more faith in to score from the spot than, like, Gardner.
I'm going to call it now, Gardner for England. We're going to need him.
It's not a bad shout, actually.
We're going to need him for that.
And, like, on the bench, you could fetch him on, like, 119,
yep.
And then just to take a, like, spot kick. Although, with England, he would still miss.
Well,
<yeah. laughs> No, he seems to pick a different spot every single time, and he just hits it sweet as anything, and it just...
I was going to say, ruthless.
He is.
8 goals this season?
Yeah, he's done well.
Not bad for playing the majority of the season at right back.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, there's a fair few penalties and that in there, but...
Well, yeah, but you still have to stick them in, don't you?
Oh, without a doubt. I've seen plenty of people miss them. Danny Rose got away with a handball as well.
Mm, he did. That was quite obviously inside the box.
Yeah, there were some people trying to make an argument.
Yeah, I mean,
just wasn't one, was there?
I mean, you could easily argue with every handball, really. Was it meant? Well, you know, should that have actually been a foul? But if the referee thinks it is, then it's in the box. It's penalty.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. And the referee, at least he kind of like had in his mind what he was going to give as handball on the day and what he wasn't.
Mm.
You know, at least he got them all. At least he called them all the like same. You know.
Yeah.
I think that we were lucky there. But that's the most annoying thing. We got every stroke of luck that you could possibly hope to have, and still didn't come anywhere near winning the game.
Well, this is what I was coming on to. Mm. Like, it's sometimes when you win in and the other team comes back, it feels like a defeat.
Yeah.
And it feels like a draw. But this was one... This felt like we'd clawed it back and felt like we'd got beat.
Yeah.
Even though we actually got a point out of it. And it took until kind of Sunday night for me to remember we didn't get beat. We actually drew.
Yeah.
It was such a kick in the teeth and such a annoying affront of a performance.
It was insulting. Well, I actually felt violated by that.
That's what I'm saying. It was bordering on disrespectful to everyone that bothered to turn up.
It was. It really, really was. I mean, obviously, we've had some bleak times. but I can't remember leaving a game feeling that down, ever. I really can't.
Because there was just nothing. Well, you couldn't, I would, you know, sometimes when in defeat we talk about the good points and stuff. There's none this week.
Well, I mean, we have to. I mean, you know, with this site, we have to look for the good points. Because if not, we would just, we would all be dead by now. We'd have hanged ourselves one by one. And it just would be all over. So we have to look for the good points. But this, there just wasn't any. There just was not a single thing that you could say which was, yeah, at least we did that.
Yeah, at least we did this. At least such and such had a good game. Or it looks like you know, Graham and Fletcher are getting a good partnership or something, which they're not at all, sort of thing. Ugh, burpy coffee.
So what did you make of the like team that names? Because to me, I mean,
inspiring to say the least.
That morning, I was feeling pretty good.
I was thinking.
I was thinking, this is the day, you know, we're gonna like win it, and then by the like end of the day, we'll be thinking, what on earth were we all actually concerned about? And then I saw the team that he named, and my heart just sank immediately because you could just tell what was going to happen.
You couldn't see any reasoning for it.
No, you couldn't.
Was the other thing? Like,
I mean, where did Vaughan come from?
Well, this is what I was going to say. Like his inclusion, there was a clamour for him to start a long time ago, kind of the turn of the year. And for three games, people were justified, I think. But then he reverted back to form, and everyone remembered David Vaughan's a bit shit. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's back in the team at the expense of Ndai, who, admittedly, not been fantastic, been all right, but well, it still doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It doesn't, I mean... I like Ndai, for all he isn't great, what he will do, he will give you some serious drive from there. He'll charge forward. And that was what we were really, really missing. Because Vaughan and Larsson, they're neat and they're tidy and they do very nice square balls and they keep the ball fairly well. But that just wasn't what was needed at all. We needed to push the game. We needed to get on the like a front foot from the off. You know, even take out the fact that they had a man sent off and everything, like most of it. Regardless of that, from the off, we needed to be, you know, a front foot and making the game like ours. And like Ndai, he was signed to do exactly that, to give us that, to, you know, to give us some like real strength in there, and someone who can get up and down and like impose himself on a game. Now Vaughan and Larsson, neither of them are going to do that. We know this by now. You know, I mean Larsson has been there, you know, 30 games now. It feels like he's played every game. He's played every game but one.
Nearly. I can't remember him being on the bench anyway.
And it's just, we know that he'll be tidy, he'll be neat. He might have an occasional good shot, which he did. You know, but he doesn't add anything. He doesn't create anything. He doesn't get his foot on the ball and make plays. He's just kind of there. And it's, you just think that if he didn't fancy Ndai, if he didn't fancy, what's his name, Amangane, what are they doing here? And if he didn't fancy them, then why didn't he use the time and the money that he had to bring in someone that he did?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, Ndai was brought in because he's supposedly better than Vaughan and Larsson.
He was supposed to have something that we lacked.
Yeah, and understandably at the minute, because of injuries to Catmull and things like that, you've got to play one of them.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That, you know, and obviously Colbeck's been at left back, but he was dropped out as well. And to be fair, between Vaughan, Larsson and Colbeck, you're getting one neat and tidy little player with no strength.
Yeah.
So, you know, pick perm one from three.
Yeah, which you can't have. You know, they all have something, but when they all have the like same, they add nothing. They're just midfield litter.
Yeah. To be fair, I mean, it was a confusing selection, and the Mangane thing was ridiculous.
Yeah, as now is the 4-4-2.
Well, yeah, there's something has to be done about that, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, because I mean, both of our forwards want to play as a one. They both want the exact same space. They both want to make the exact same runs. They can't be asked like having to read someone else's game and making runs off someone and having
just
to think about what they're doing.
Way.
They are at the minute when they're both using the exact same space and making the exact same runs. It's exactly the same as having one player up there. It's exactly the same. It's added nothing. So it's basically a 4-4-1 now. That's all that it's actually done.
Yeah, you're eliminating one player.
You are, yeah.
So, or melding two into one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think, was it in one of the tactics pieces either last week or this week? I mean, Graham and Fletcher, was it they passed to each other three times, including kickoff?
It's not what you need, is it?
It's like, it was like three times, one was kickoff, one was in our own half, and, yeah, they don't need to be, you know, best mates. Do you know what I mean? But,
you see,
at least, you know, work. Like, do something. If it's not working, you've got to take them out.
Yeah.
Take one of them out.
I mean, I thought that it was a decent, like, buy that, because we needed a second striker somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I thought to have him on the bench and to use him, like, late in games and use him to
change around
a little bit, and just have a slight net there, like, just in case. I thought that was a sound signing, but they're not going to form a front two. They never are.
No. Whereas Sessegnon and Fletcher kind of did.
Exactly. I mean, Wickham could. I think that Wickham wants to play as a two.
Mm.
And like, it's just... Well, yeah, it just isn't... I mean, a Fraser Campbell wanted to play as a two. So, I mean, why have we got rid of these? I mean, fair enough, one is actually back now, but why do we get rid of those and add someone who doesn't
who
want to be a two?
Who knows what could have been.
Yeah.
Tell you what, yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, for all G's flaws, he had a nice touch.
He does, yeah.
And you know, just had absolutely just as strong as a piece of paper. That he wouldn't be alone in that respect.
But I'll tell you what about him. He can also play from the like left. I thought he looked really, really good there. So, I mean, again, why are all of these people being allowed to leave when all we've done is we've reduced the like options and then picked the worst one that we could?
Reduced to the same options. Anyway, there's questions for Martin O'Neill to answer, I think. And
Is he here?
I wish he was. Good Lord. He'd be getting a lot of things thrown at him. But it leads us on to question of the week. And it's pretty simple this week. If we happen to save off relegation, would you stick or twist on Martin O'Neill at the end of the season?
Actually wondered when we would get to this one.
So did I. It seems appropriate this week.
I mean, for me, nothing has actually changed. I think that for me, long term, he's still the exact right man for a thing like job. I think, as we've spoken about, he's made a lot of errors in the like short term. I think that he thought that we were much better and much safer than we actually were. And I think that he's made a howler of that. But I think that he's risked far too much. But moving forward, if we can stop up this season, which I think that we will. He's obviously got rid of everyone that he can. He's obviously got something big planned.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that long term, he's shown that he's a man who can build a team. Long term, he's the right man.
I mean, this is the kind of like the question really is. Obviously, you think he's got something planned in the long term. Should we stay up? Do you trust him to do that though?
What
to be the man to take us? Right, okay, this season's been an absolute shitstorm of a season. Is he the man you back to do anything different and turn it around?
He is, because I think that he's kind of like shown over 20 years, you know, that he knows how to build a team. I mean, yes, he has his like flaws and everything, they all do, but this is someone who knows how to build a team. He knows what's needed. Whether he knows how to actually find it without spending fortunes is a different matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the fact that he seems to obviously know what needs to be done and he knows how to build a team, I just think that those two things are seriously like in his favour there.
I think fair point. I've got to admit, I'm kind of falling out of love with Martin O'Neill a little bit.
A lot of them are, though. A lot of like fans are, aren't they? I mean, that's the...
Yeah.
Like a lot, I think that Short really backs him still. I think Short will support him no matter what happens.
I mean, there's a lot of knee-jerk people out there. And personally, I'd like to say I wasn't one of them.
No, but...
I've done everything I can.
A David Boyle is, though.
He's turned.
He has. He's having fury peas left, right and centre. I just wouldn't go anywhere near him if you see him.
Yeah, I'm just... I don't know. I really, really don't know if after this is the kind of... I understand he's done a good job clearing the decks and things like that, but I don't know if I want him to start fresh.
Really?
I don't know.
So who would you rather... Say if only...
Well, this is the thing. This is why I'm not completely out. Mm. Because I'm thinking who... Something I've thought about for a couple of days is, well, who would we bring in?
Mm.
And it's easier said than done trying to find someone.
It is.
I mean, I definitely, definitely wouldn't do anything until the end of the season at the absolute minimum.
Well, I mean, hang on. What I would ask you now, then, is you backed Mark Hughes
yeah.
at the time when...
Well, infamously.
Like, got O'Neill. Now that he is available again, would you go back on it and...
No.
Get him still back him?
No, but I'll tell you what. 1 point raised from the time then, which may well still be valid, is my question of O'Neill back then was, he's been out of the game a while, does he still have it?
Mm.
Does he still have it?
Yeah. Oh, he still has it.
Yeah.
I mean, I got asked this a lot when I was down doing, shall we say, other podcasts. Mm. And I got asked this a lot. They were all saying, he's a man out of touch. He's very like old school and everything, and he always has been. And I was like saying, well, yeah, but if you're right that he always has been, but if he gets a sixth with it, am I going to be sitting there thinking, oh yeah, you know, this is great. This, you know, we're sixth. We've got these, you know, really like old school fast wingers, and we don't really sort of like change the team and all of this, and we don't retain the ball all that well. So get rid. You know, he's too sort of like old school. I don't care if we're like sixth or doing well. Or so. I mean, I'm thinking, yeah, he is old school, but old school doesn't necessarily mean bad.
No, I'm not saying means bad. I'm just saying
a Redknapp, you would say, is also old school, but he got a team fourth.
Oh yeah,
season. So I think that there is still a lot to be said for, shall we say, the old ways. I think that like O'Neill does that well. And to be perfectly honest, if we did change our sort of like style, be a team who keeps the ball lots and there's lots of sideways balls and all of this, I don't think that the fans would actually like it. They're like the home crowd. I think that it would be a case of they would all be, get the ball forward, man, what are you doing and all of this? Because
there was a lot of cry out for 4-4-2.
There was. You're right. I mean, we are an old school type of like club, and I don't say that in a like really bad way. It's just the way that we are actually built. But
yeah.
Anyway, let's see what like other people have to say.
Yeah, there's a couple of other comments, not a million, which is good. And they've all been quite... they haven't rambled on for ages, which is good. There's a lot of... said this quite a few times now. Don't write a fucking essay. All right?
Because we have to read the thought out.
Yeah, and then I've got to skim through it and find out what your actual point was. So just make your point and leave. Come back next week. Right, so we'll start off with Prison Broken, who says, I hope so. It's been dire for most of the season, and perhaps he has overreached with his Ditch the Dross campaign, but I generally think that we are still in the Prem for next season. We will be all the better for it, and the football will improve.
Yeah, I think that he shares my view, really. I think that's spot on.
Willie Mackham, regular commenter, says, stick. I'd stick with O'Neill. As much as we need immediate results, we cannot have a knee-jerk reaction to the recent results.
Mm. Spot on, again.
Over to someone who's done a comment on Facebook.
Wow.
Which is rare, but it does happen. It's 1,000 people there, 1,012 people, and hardly anyone ever says anything. So why not pop along, facebook.com/RokerReport, like Martin Bates has. And he says, I think we'll avoid the drop, but only just. I would stick with Marty going forward. We're on a shocking run of form right now, but I have the faith that he will make off-season changes, and worry about relegation will be a thing of the past in future seasons. Mm.
Yeah.
Quite positive and optimistic there.
Yeah. I just think that, like, O'Neill, he obviously does have this grand plan for us, which I don't think that anyone has ever had before. It's always been for us a case of we'll take it year on year, and we'll just try to actually stop up. And I think it's going to take something big, and it's going to take a big risk to kind of, like, shake us out of that. And I think that that's the risk that O'Neill has done now. And we've just got to wait and see whether the risk works or not.
You must admit you're talking me off the ledge a bit.
Mm. I do that.
Over to Twitter, just the one comment. Ridders86, who says, you would just stick with him. Maybe he deserves one more transfer window to ship out the shit and get a few quality in that are actually in their prime. How big is, if he does stay this summer, is huge.
Oh yeah, absolutely massive. And I don't think that he can afford to kind of like wait around like he did last summer. He's going to have to get a few in early.
Yeah, there's more than
anything else, just to keep the fans on side.
There's also going to have to be significant. I mean, we criticise like Bruce and that for bringing in 10 players every window and stuff, but it's needed this time.
It is.
Because you have to think, you know, we're down to a small squad now, and there's got to be about another 5 or so on their way.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that he would try and keep a kind of like core of maybe 5 or 6 for like next season, and then I'm talking about in the like actual first team, not in the whole squad.
Yeah,
and like add to it. But again, it's the big thing is going to be he's going to have to kind of like have a good start, I think, because last time didn't get a good start, and we all saw what actually happened there. But I think he needs to get people in early, and then he needs a strong start.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, if you look at the squad, Rose may never come back.
Mm.
Mangane is pretty much non-existent anyway.
Titus is gone.
Kilgallen's gone, you would think, anyway. Yeah.
I would assume, and then we've got the likes of David Vaughan, Seb Larson, and Phil Bardsley, who are all going to be entering their final year. Mm-hmm. And I would assume, he might give a new deal to like maybe Seb Larson, because he seems to, just kind of like fall into his eyes and just do whatever he says. But
understandable.
But you would think that he would be that at least a couple of them he would be trying to actually move on when he could still get some kind of a fee.
Wes Brown's going to probably be turned into glue. Westwood probably leave first team football. That's getting in the low numbers now.
It is.
Someone will probably want G, and will probably sell him for about one money back.
Yeah.
That's leaving us with next to nout. Yeah.
Fletcher, Johnson, maybe Mignolet if we're lucky.
I mean, I'm looking down the
Cole
list
back.
Here.
Klein?
Yeah, well, I'm looking down here. The ones that are, like, safe.
Mm.
You would say Ndai, Catamol, probably Larson, Gardner, Graham, Wickham.
O'Shea?
Pickford's still a kid. Colbeck's safe. O'Shea's probably safe. Johnson, Mignolet, hopefully, if we don't get a massive offer. McLean, Queller, Fletcher, Cessignon.
Yeah. So there will be a call there, won't there? But
you're barely breaking 16 players. Yeah. This sort of thing. Elmo, he'll fuck off as well.
Why?
So, there's gonna either be Martin O'Neill's got pretty much a blank slate, or do you want someone else to take on the blank slate? It's a really tough call at the minute for me. I'm really 50-50 about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still firmly behind, like, O'Neill.
Was it 9 wins in 44?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not
It's
good.
Terrible.
Mm.
It's really, really terrible.
But I think that when, like, O'Neill came, we all thought about, like, ourselves, the long runs that we go on where we don't win are going to be, are going to be gone now. That won't happen. The days where we lose, like, in the cup to a lower league teams meekly, those days will be gone now, The days where we look at a team, at our team, and we just don't see any fight or heart or anything, and those days will be gone. And O'Neill hasn't changed any of that this season. Every single one of those has been exactly the same.
Something I was kind of like mulling over for something, writing for Thursday, something I was kind of mulling over was the point where people say, this is, it's Steve's Bruce's shitty team.
Mm.
And, the vast majority of it is, but as much as he's lauded himself for doing so, he got that shitty team to 10th.
by fluke or not,
and it's Martin O'Neill getting there by fluke this year.
The team that he did actually well with, it had maybe Bent in it for like half of the season, Henderson in it, Steed in it, and Nedumonua. And the heart of that team was ripped out. Well, he allowed it to be done. I don't personally stand by the point that he got this team Like,
I'm not.
I think it's.
It was a complete fluke that he got us there.
Yeah, and there was a different team. Jan was in it, Bent, Henderson, Onua, Steed. You know, it was a completely different team.
Yeah, but you could look at some of the players that he's brought in, that have been brought in since then.
Yeah.
You can, all right, Onua, Rose.
Yeah, but the point is that it's a different team.
Jan, Fletcher. You'd say, in theory, these were upgrades. Johnson, Malbronk, probably not, but in theory, these were supposedly the upgrades.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, a midfield, I mean, Henderson and those are two players who, they were much better than we thought, and we've found it very difficult to get a different ones in who can offer us the, like, same.
Well, anyway, that's question of the week.
Yeah.
if you want to, we'll probably chat about it during the week on at Roker Report on Twitter, if you want to come and get involved with that. Martin O'Neill, stick or twist at the end of the season, because he's not going anywhere now. So we can just forget about that one, which a lot of people still seem to think is an option. I ain't got any other business, have you?
Nope,
because it's a very, very quiet week. On the site this week, looking back at Norwich, hoo-hoo. Get excited for talking tactics and quick kicks. There's a captain's blog. There's a make a case about the winter break.
We've got history on the site.
It's history week. With some extracts from another excellent Mark Metcalf book.
Yeah, when we can't be asked to do things anymore, we just get Mark to do all of the work for us.
Yep. But it is very good stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely well worth a read. 100 years since we were chasing the double.
Yeah, and then we've also got some stuff on Frank Swift, some SAFC related stuff from the book about him, for those old enough who can recall him.
Not me.
Nope, nor me either, but I do know about him, but no, I'm not quite that old.
And we're going to have various other bits of opinion.
And what's happened to a Weatherspoon? He's just gone missing. Have you
noticed? All of them.
Is he? Where is he?
He has gone skiing.
Oh, he's going to come back with two broken legs. So it happens when everyone goes skiing. I don't know why anyone bloody goes.
He was supposed to be our good luck charm last week. If anyone was listening to the podcast, apparently every time he goes skiing, we win. Well, that didn't happen, did it? We can forget about going skiing ever again.
Anyway.
That's episode 95 of the Roker Report podcast.
Right.
Done and dusted. So, see you next week.
Right, see you.
Ta-ra.
Goodbye.
Yep, and we'll see you next week. Ta-ra, everyone.